Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
If you have your Bible, I invite you to take it and open it with me to Proverbs chapter 4, right in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 4. This morning, I want to talk with you about the heart that God has in mind for you. Last week, as Dan mentioned a moment ago, we started a new series. Our series this week is called, Chiseled, Becoming the Person God Has in Mind. If you always wondered why I brought my Yeti up here, it's for that right there. Much better. Now I'm ready. Chiseled, Becoming the Person God Has in Mind. We are looking at our lives like this work in progress. God has a work in progress called you and called me, and he's moving us through this work that he has in mind. Last week, we spent our time in one verse primarily over in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul says, we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. And we talked about this imagery that came around this word workmanship. It's like a work of art, an original masterpiece that our great God, our creator God, an incredibly, incredibly creative God that we serve, is constantly at work in us. He is sculpting us. He is molding us. He is shaping us, carving us. We said the sermon in a sentence last week was God is chiseling our lives into his original masterpiece. Would you just say that out loud? Take that out loud note with me. God is chiseling our lives into his original masterpiece. I mean, it's like he's got his tools and he's just hammering away, chiseling away, making us into the image that he's always imagined us to be. The creative process, the poema, the workmanship, his work of art. It's like he could see us and he just starts chipping away all of the exterior to get to the root of who we are. God is chiseling our lives into his original masterpiece. I mean, meticulous, methodically at work in us, really from the inside out. And he's just continuing to chip away, smooth away, chiseling off those rough edges, shoring up those soft spots in our life that need his attention. And although God's been chiseling us from the inside out, today I want us to really focus on a particular part of our lives where God's chisel has been shaping us. I want us to focus on the heart that God has in mind for you and the heart that God has in mind for me. God says some incredible things about our heart all throughout his word. But there's a particular verse I want us to look at in Proverbs 4. He's been chiseling. He's been shaping you and he's been shaping me. And we need to look at this one particular part of scripture this morning about us becoming his original masterpiece, this work of art, God's workmanship that he's chiseling and shaping us to be. Look with me, if you would, in your Bible, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's a foundational verse for me. We preached on this in years gone by, but I want us to come back to it again and then look at a couple of other places in Scripture because it's going to really dial into our heart this morning. Look what it says in verse 23, Proverbs 4, 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23 is one of those verses that I committed to memory When I was a little kid growing up, did maybe you memorized a verse of scripture or some scriptures and you've got some favorites? This was one of my favorites. If you've never memorized any scripture in the Bible, that's okay. Man, this one's a great one to commit to memory. I memorized it from a different translation of the Bible. There's different translations. I normally preach out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. I memorized it when I was growing up out of a different translation called the New International Version, the NIV. And man, I mean, it just stuck with me. And so I memorized this verse as a kid. Here's how the NIV says it. It says it a little bit differently. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So whether you are reading from the English Standard Version or the New International Version, the most important thing for us to realize is this right here. God prioritizes your heart. Well, would you just make that declaration with me? God prioritizes your heart. I mean, when it says above all else, that should be a clue. This is a pretty important deal to God, right? Above all else, guard your heart. Above all else just screams out to me, God prioritizes our hearts. God, the Creator, chiseling on our hearts, working on our hearts, smoothing those rough edges, creating in us clean hearts, pure hearts, hearts that are fully His, ready to live for Him. We must be men and women, students, boys and girls, who above all else are guarding our hearts. If you're a thinking person, which I know you are, then you're going to ask a great question. Why? That's a great question to ask. Why? It's because of this right here. Your heart hangs in the balance between two agendas. Your heart hangs in the balance between two agendas. And so you're going to ask another great question right now based on this right here, and it's what? Well, what are the two agendas? I knew you're tracking with me. We got some energy going here. I can tell online. I'm telling. I'm tracking with you. What are these two agendas? Well, the two agendas actually are pretty clearly stated from the lips of Jesus. If you keep your finger here in the Old Testament in Proverbs 4 and go to the New Testament to the Gospel of John, I want to show you what Jesus says. Just one verse that is recorded here in John chapter 10, verse 10. If you want another great verse to memorize after you move from Proverbs 4:23, John 10:10 is another great one to memorize. Definitely worth memorizing. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus is talking and He speaks of this place where our heart hangs in the balance between two agendas. Let's read what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Did you see the two agendas that are there? Pretty easy to depict. They're competing agendas. On one hand, you have an agenda from the thief, also known as Satan or the devil, the enemy. And his agenda is to steal and to kill and to destroy, take a guess, your heart. Your heart, your life, the core of who you are. On the other hand, we have Jesus' agenda. And Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and have it to the fullest, that your heart may be overflowing with goodness and mercy and joy and abundance." Doesn't that echo back to what we just looked at in Proverbs 4:23? Look at it again with me. Above all else, guard your what? Guard your heart. Why? For it is the wellspring of life. See, when it talks about our hearts being the wellspring of life, it's talking about that place inside of us where abundant life that Jesus is talking about overflows. That life that we were created to live and experience, the life that is truly life. Friends, I'm telling you, Jesus has an agenda for your heart, for your life. He is chiseling on your heart in such a way that he intends for it to be shaped towards abundance. That's what he's doing in your life. See, when Jesus tells you his agenda for your heart, that he's shaping you, he's chiseling you, he's designing you like the work of art, the original masterpiece he's always had in mind for you to be. And he talks about it, his agenda for you being that your heart would be this wellspring of life that leads toward you living abundantly and experiencing abundant life. I mean, did you see it on the back end of John 10:10? Let's look again at what Jesus says in John 10:10 at the back end. Can we go to that next slide? Yeah, he says, I came that they, who are they? They are his masterpieces. His original masterpieces, all who would call him Lord and follow him. I came that they may have life and have it. How? Say this word with me. Abundantly. Underline that, circle that, highlight that, mark that. That word abundantly is a rich word. It's the word parousos in the Greek, and it describes something that goes far beyond what's necessary. Something that goes far beyond what's necessary. It's the nature and the character of our Creator God, our great chiseling Father God. In other words, to go far beyond what is necessary when it comes to shaping His kids into the works of art that He's always desired and designed them to be, crafting them to experience something that is his agenda, and his agenda for you and for me and for your kids and for your grandkids and for your marriage and your friendships is to experience abundant life. Not just life, abundant life. Something that goes far beyond what's necessary. That's what he has in mind for you and for your heart. As I was studying this concept, this passage, the research I kept reading kept pointing me back to a couple of other foundational points and places in John's gospel. If you want to turn back to the left a little bit, look in John chapter 4 and then over in John chapter 7. In John chapter 4, it's a story of Jesus meeting a woman at a well. And this woman is there to get water, and Jesus is sitting there, and Jesus asks this woman at the well for a drink. And from this wellspring, it hopefully is going to quench some thirst. And in John chapter 4, verse 10, it records Jesus saying these words to this woman in this back and forth conversation. And Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is talking about something that goes far beyond what's necessary. Jesus is talking about giving her abundance when it comes to quenching her thirst. Water, more water, a different kind of water that goes way beyond what's necessary. Why? Because it's in his nature and in his character to do so. That's just who he is. He's so generous. He's got so much to pour into us. It's in his nature and his character to go abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, far beyond what's necessary. And then you go over to John chapter 7. Just flip a couple of pages. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, where Jesus, he's at this big feast, this big party, and Jesus stands up at this feast. And here's what he says in verse 37, 38, John chapter 7. Jesus says, "If anyone is thirst, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his what? Out of his heart. Out of her heart will flow rivers of living water." See, again, Jesus is showing his nature, his character, his agenda is to be one who not only will, but wants to give our hearts, give us life that goes far beyond what's necessary. He's got so much in mind for you. He sees so much of what he has in store for you. He's chiseling a place for you to live out of that and be who he's always desired you, created you to be. I mean, look again at that agenda there in verse 38. This is such a rich agenda. Whoever believes in me, do you believe in him? If you're thinking about it, here's what comes at the end of authentic belief, or in the middle of authentic belief. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said. So you can't define what belief looks like. You got to go back to what the scripture says. Sorry, your truth doesn't matter when it comes to Jesus, because he's got a corner on the truth, because he is the truth, which means we got to lay our version of that down if we're going to come and be a follower of his. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his, say that word with me again, heart, out of her heart will flow rivers of living water. Doesn't that echo what we were reading in Proverbs 4:23? Look at it again with me. Above all else, guard your what? Your heart. Why? Because it's the wellspring of life. It's a wellspring of life. And what was Jesus' agenda again over in John chapter 10, verse 10? He says, "I came that they may have what? Life. And have it how? Abundantly, far beyond what's necessary." He goes way beyond breath in your lungs. He goes to abundance in your heart and out of your heart. Folks, Jesus is talking about how big of a deal your heart is to him. Or as we said, God prioritizes your heart. Would you just make that declaration with me? God prioritizes your heart. God's chiseling your heart. And he wants you to guard your heart, because your heart is a wellspring of life. Your heart, in other words, is the place of abundance that Jesus has for you, that he's creating inside of you. Jesus' agenda, friends, is a life of abundance, a life that is far beyond what's necessary when it comes to God's goodness that's intended for you on its way to someone else. He wants it to be for you, but not to stop with you. A river that's flowing, overflowing in you, out of you, through you, to a world that's dying of soul thirst. And so know that God is taking meticulous, masterful precision when it comes to your heart. And Jesus wants you to guard it. Where? How? Above all else. Which begs another question, and it's a really good question. I know you're thinking it, so let me just articulate it. How do you guard your heart? How do you guard your heart. Well, to guard your heart means you must surround it with something. So what are you going to surround your heart with if you're going to guard your heart? I believe one word can sum it up. Truth. Truth. So when we have a memory verse, we're memorizing truth. When it's on our refrigerator or on our mirror or on our screensaver, we're not just memorizing a verse from the Bible. We are actively pursuing a guarding of our heart. We're building a wall of truth around our heart. So that if any attack comes on our heart, because friends, the enemy is after a heart attack. He is looking to steal, kill, and destroy. He's after a heart attack. If he's going to attack your heart, it's first got to go through truth to get to your heart. If you're doing what Scripture says and guarding your heart. So what you and I must be about doing every single day is guard your heart with a perimeter of truth. Would you say that with me? Because that's a great, great thing that we must grab a hold of and begin to implement in our life. Say this with me. Guard your heart with a perimeter of truth. Let me just ask you, what intentional actions have you been taking this week to build that perimeter of truth? What have you been doing? What will you do this coming week? When will you immerse your heart in truth? Memorize truth. Put another brick in the wall, as those great theologians Pink Floyd talked about. I don't think they were talking about a perimeter of truth, but you know what? We'll take it from where it is and we'll build that wall of truth around our hearts. When are you going to immerse your heart and mind in Scripture this week? What podcasts will you dial into this week that is going to help build the perimeter of truth around your heart? Who will you have stimulating spiritual conversations with this week that will stimulate a truth perimeter around your heart? What decisions are you making today that will guard your heart for tomorrow? Remember, above all else. So we can't just put it on the list and be in alignment with God's priority. Because this needs to go to the front of the line if he's saying above all else. Above all else, we must guard our hearts with perimeter of truth. If you're a skeptic on that, that's great. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Jesus welcomes the skeptics. He loves it when you ask the tough questions. Just be intellectually honest, okay? Don't just throw it away because you know one or two hypocrites. Just keep coming back to Jesus. If you will keep coming back to Jesus, you know what you'll keep reading him saying in Scripture? I tell you the truth. 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 He says it over and over and over again. Why is he doing that? Because he's wanting you to take it and build a perimeter around your heart. Because above all else, we must guard it. Why? Because it's the wellspring of our life. So, because God prioritizes our heart, shouldn't we? Please say yes. Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's another agenda that we read about a moment ago that's not going away this side of heaven. Our dear friend Betty Hyde that went to be with the Lord yesterday didn't have to worry about that agenda anymore because she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. But that other agenda, it's not going away, and Jesus didn't have his head in the sand. He just called it out. John 10:10, at the beginning of it, he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. No chisel needed. Just give him the hammer and just let him go to work on your heart. Stealing, killing, destroying. Although God's agenda is to create in you that chiseled heart that leads to abundant life, the thief's agenda or the devil's agenda, Satan's agenda, the enemy's agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy your heart. Totally wreck and wreak havoc on the original masterpiece, the poema, the workmanship that God has in mind for you. Let me just shoot straight with you. The devil's going for your heart. He's going for a heart attack. That's where he's attacking, is the heart. Therefore, we must stay vigilant about keeping watch, keeping guard over it. Not when it's convenient or when we're well rested or when our team wins, but above all else. Above all else. Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, articulated this agenda of the enemy like this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says this: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Man, there's a lot in that verse. And when you read that verse, know this: Peter didn't write that verse to scare us. There's nothing that we need to be scared about. There is no reason for us to live in fear. That's why 365 times throughout the pages of Scripture, God says, don't be afraid. Fear not. One for every single day of the year. Don't be afraid. Listen to what the truth is about you. If you are a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, Paul wrote some words in his last letter that he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that says this: for God gave us a spirit not of what? Not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. That's the truth about who you are if you're a follower of Jesus. You have a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. We did a series not long ago out of the letter of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us about who we are as followers of Jesus, as children of God. Listen to what our Father in heaven reminds His kids of. That's the truth. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, says this: little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That means that your big, strong, powerful, truth-telling God, who's the King of Kings, the Creator over all, wants you to know that if you are a follower of His one and only Son, Jesus, a child of the King, you don't have to live afraid. You don't have to live a life worrying all the time. Your life is in good hands, in the hands of the Father. And when you choose to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, to be adopted as a child of God, then what happens is God puts His Holy Spirit inside of you, child. In that moment, He puts His Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Holy Spirit of God, hear me on this, based on the authority of God's Word, the Holy Spirit of God is greater, more powerful, and stronger than your enemy who is in this world, the devil who is in this world. You don't have to be afraid, God says, because you live with a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. God also says all throughout the Scripture, be aware of this, don't take this lightly. In this world you have a devil who is present. And there is very real temptation, there is real evil. And thus you and I need to be on our guard. We need to guard our hearts. Because it's not just some adversary, some enemy. It's a very personal enemy. Check the pronoun again at what Peter says, if you missed it the first time. Look what he says here in 1 Peter 5:8 again. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's your adversary, and he is the devil, or Satan, or the enemy, as Jesus referred to him in John 10:10. And friends, he's got an agenda. And his agenda isn't to chisel, it's to steal and to kill and to destroy you. God is shaping your heart into a place of abundance. The enemy is looking for someone to devour. And you know who he's going to attack first? The ones who have their guards down. The ones who don't have that strong perimeter surrounding their heart with truth. I'll tell you what came to my mind as I've been studying this. It's when I had the opportunity to go to Africa several years ago on a mission trip. On the way home, we had the opportunity from Uganda to stop off in Kenya for a couple of days, and we had the opportunity to go on an African safari and just to see some of the incredible African wild animals that God has created. They live and roam out on the Maasai Mara, and I got to go on a safari in these little open-air jeeps, and man, our guide's on the CB radio, and everybody's looking in particular for one species, and it's the lion. And it comes over early in the morning, man, there's a kill over here, over here, over here. And all over the Maasai Mara, these jeeps are just all coming from all different directions to this pride of lions that is just absolutely having breakfast. And I'm standing up in my little jeep, open air jeep, 30 feet away, click, click, click. And this is what the scene looked like. I mean, just going to town. And what doesn't translate in this picture is the sound of the bones just snapping in the jaws of those lions as they are having breakfast. And as I've thought about this passage, I've thought about that morning on the African plain. And I've thought about the agenda of the devil, the enemy, your enemy, the one who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Because friends, his agenda is to isolate you in a moment of unguarded weakness with your heart exposed and pounce and deliver and crush. Or as Jesus said, steal, kill, and destroy. And there's all kinds of places where that can manifest itself too that came back to my mind as far as heart attacks from the enemy. Whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, based on a couple of decades of pastoring all kinds of people through all kinds of seasons of life and different challenges. If you're a man, two places to be very careful: women and wealth. If you're a woman, two places to be very on guard: men and materialism. In other words, you've got to guard your heart against the opposite sex and the stuff of the world. Now, there's all kinds of other stuff to guard. I'm just bringing up two, okay? Am I saying that relationships are bad? No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying unhealthy relationships are bad? Yes. Adulterous relationships? Yes, bad. Am I saying having stuff, wealth, toys, bad? I'm not saying that. They're not bad in and of themselves. Can they quickly cause your heart to drift? Let your guard down? Yes, they can. Are you guarding your heart when it comes to relationships with the opposite sex? If you're not, you're setting yourself up to be devoured, to have your heart attacked and broken into pieces. And if you think it can't happen to you, it can happen to you. Can happen to me. Ask Urban Meyer. You go, who's Urban Meyer? Don't Google it. Heart attack. I was hanging out with somebody that wasn't his wife. You go, well, man, the world's just getting bad today, isn't it? The world's always been bad, ever since the fall of Eden. 1 Samuel 11. two adults, David and Bathsheba. You know David, King David, you know what one of his nicknames was? That's the man after God's own heart. King David, a man after God's own heart. If he can let his guard down, you can let your guard down. I can let my guard down and find myself in an unhealthy relationship. Men, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts when it comes to relationships with women. Women, guard your hearts when it comes to relationships with men. And guard your hearts when it comes to wealth, when it comes to materialism, or as the Bible sometimes describes it, as the world. A person who comes to mind when I think about a heart that gets attacked with the world is a little-known character in the Scripture named Demas. You ever heard old Demas before? He's only mentioned three times in the Bible. All three at the end of three different letters from the Apostle Paul, kind of in a string of names that we kind of usually skip over because we don't know how to pronounce half of them anyway, and we need to turn the page and get on to whatever the next thing is. Let me just show you briefly three different places how Demas is referenced, and then pay particular attention to the last one. The first one is this. It's in Philemon 1, 23 and 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So Demas is in the game here. He's in the gospel ministry with Paul. Look what he says here in Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. But look what it says in 2 Timothy, the last letter that Paul wrote before he was martyred for his faith while still in prison. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 writes this. Paul writes this about our dear friend Demas. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, or all the stuff, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. See, somewhere along the way, Demas fell in love with the world. He's trucking along doing pretty well. He's following God. He's helping Paul. He's in the ministry. He's expanding the gospel. And the next thing we know, his guard is down. His heart's being devoured by the enemy who's been prowling looking for someone to devour. Folks, don't be like Demas. Guard your heart from sin. Don't be like David. Don't be like Bathsheba. Guard your heart from sin. You go, well, what's sin? Sin is anything we do, say, or think that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think. And friends, I'm telling you, you and I, we've got a personal enemy that is bent on breaking our hearts, prowling around, waiting to devour, with an agenda to steal, kill, and destroy your heart, your life, and my life. And as we wrap our teaching time up this morning, I want you just to look at this quote. Maybe take your phone out, take a picture of it. It's from a man named John Owens. He wrote a book in the 1600s. So if you're looking for some old school, this is old school. The book's called The Mortification of Sin. That one probably won't show up on the New York Times bestseller. But this book has some practical ways to guard your heart, to put a perimeter of truth around your heart. And as we wrap this time up, would you just sit with this quote and a question for a moment? And here's the quote. There's no way to manage something that's bent on killing you. Put to death the flesh, your sin. Either you kill your sin or your sin kills you. And a question for us as our worship team comes and prepares to lead us in worship is this. What needs to die in your life today that your heart may live? What needs to die in your life today that your heart may live?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.